is The Fight Back, thefightback.org. Reporting from the streets of D.C., I'm Pete Tucker. This week, Occupy D.C. faced the possibility of a confrontation with U.S. Park Police, who said they would be enforcing a no-camping law beginning Monday at noon at both Freedom Plaza and McPherson Square. Unlike most other cities, D.C.'s occupations have existed continuously for months on end and largely without the mass arrests seen elsewhere. As the movement that began September 17th on Wall Street continues in the nation's capital, we spend the hour with musicians who have performed at Occupy D.C. over the past months, including M1 and Stickman, who make up the hip-hop group Dead Prez.
That's war. That's what it is. And I'm against the U.S. war against everybody in the world. You know what I'm saying? That's why we right here warring against this.
That's right.
Real talk.
It ain't war until we fighting back, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When it's one side, it's just a slaughter, you heard?
Real talk. It won't be a slaughter too much longer.
In December, the politically conscious rappers performed at McPherson Square. We'll also hear from Emma's Revolution. I sat down with the guitar-wielding duo of Pat Humphries and Sandy O on October 7th. It was the second day of the occupation at Freedom Plaza, and they discussed their newest song, Occupy the USA.
Well, we got an email post from a friend of ours who's a labor organizer in New York City. And he said, I know what we need. We need the U.S. to invade the U.S. and win the hearts and minds of the people. And we thought, oh, well, if it's an invasion, that makes it a war. And if it's a war, then it'll be funded. Wouldn't that be a great idea? That's what inspired this song. Welcome to the U.S. occupation, to win the hearts and minds, to defend all humankind. Tell the banks and the corporations, we're here to occupy the USA.
And we'll also hear from activist and musician David Robix, who performed at both Freedom Plaza and McPherson Square in December. At Freedom Plaza, I asked Robix about his song, Occupy Wall Street.
I visited more than two dozen Occupies and sung at most of them. And I've been singing that song at all of them since I wrote it, which was around October 8th. And of course, it's gone over really well. And I mean, you know, it does what a song is hopefully, you know, supposed to do, which, you know, when you're writing a topical song, which is to express what everybody is thinking, you know, in a succinct musical format, you know. And when you do that, you can see the looks on the faces of the people who are listening. They're like, ah, yeah, you know, you nailed it, you know. And that's, you know, I mean, I'm tooting my own horn here, but that is definitely what you're trying to do when you write a song like that. And I think I more or less succeeded in that song.
Because this is where they buy the politicians. Because this is where power has its seat. Because 99% of us are suffering at the mercy of the madmen on this street.
But before hearing from Emma's Revolution and David Robix, we hear from M1 and Stickman.
You should Google the Amaro, then the Afro, then the Euro. Anything for that green. It's a scam. It's a scheme.
We can't even help our own citizens who are having foreclosure crises.
The bailout on the House floor, warning that it could destroy the dollar and the global economy.
Working families are suffering. Unemployment is over 10% in my own district. We have over 2,300 people who've lost their homes to foreclosure. Retirement and pension funds are losing value. Local government can't make decisions.
$4 or $5 bill, certain parts of the bill, you can get your blood spilt on the concrete. Little 17-year-old doing foul in the hood, on the prowl out in these streets. I done been in the same situations, heartbeat racing, you come up or you don't eat. I done had to sleep in the train station, going stop to stop with no place to be. Paper chasing, filling out applications for weeks, just trying to get up on my feet. But they ain't hiring, so I was forced to resort to the street just to make ends meet. It's called survival, the struggle continues. If it offends you, let me remind you, we all have instinct to do what we have to do to make it through, and this drive is primal. Whether you at Mickey D's taking an order, or coming from Florida, transporting a quarter, or on the corner, we all got needs. I gotta feed my son, he gotta feed his daughter. Now I ain't no capitalist exploiter, but I know the rules of supply and demand. Whoever control the product, control our supply. Well, hey, that's the law of the land. Make your own stimulus plan.
In December, Dead Prez performed for more than 150 occupiers who gathered under a plastic tarp at McPherson Square as the rain fell. The politically conscious rappers held forth on, among other issues, U.S. imperialism, the prison system, and healthy eating. After the performance, I caught up with Stickman. Your name?
Stickman Dead Press.
What brings you to Occupy D.C.?
Man, we just coming to soak it up, see what the people is doing. How can we help? How can we learn more about what's happening? And, you know, we do music primarily, but we're able to express things in a way that travels, you know what I mean? So we just here to touch the ground. And so it's not just on the internet, you know, but we're seeing what people are doing, you know, and whatnot, basically to learn, student.
You've been checking out the occupations throughout the country?
Yeah, we have, you know, been studying, you know, been seeing and trying to understand, you know, where it's going and, you know, what can be done most effectively, you know what I mean? So that it's not wasted energy, so it's not people just going to jail, you know what I mean, and coming back home and nothing's changing, you know what I mean? So, you know, that's been my approach. You know, I've been struggling in these type of situations for a long time, since my teen years. So it ain't new for me to see protests. You know what I mean? Well, what I'm interested in seeing effectiveness. You know what I'm saying? So.
One of the issues you raised on stage that was raised was the number of people in jail, African Americans disproportionately. How well has that issue been raised, and what would you hope? How would you hope for it being raised with the occupations?
You know what? I can't say, because I think part of what needs to happen is more connection, you know what I mean, with communities, black and brown communities, you know what I mean, in terms of the agenda, you know what I mean? I think, but I'm not a scientist on 100% of what's, you know, what's in the development. So my job is to come and learn, you know what I mean, and see. But I do think that even the name Occupy, you know, is something that don't really resonate in the hood like that, because our hood has been occupied by the police. We think of Occupy like the army occupying, you know, around the world. So it's kind of like that. We have to get over that the presentation or the marketing, as they would say, and get to the heart of the matters, you know. So I think it's a lot of work to be done in terms of the masses or the black and brown community being able to participate in a way that reflects that community, you know what I mean?
Can you say a few words about the state of the prison industrial complex in this country?
I mean, the state of the prison system, industrial complex, whatever fancy names that we want to call them, is a business. You know what I mean? It's a business that promotes the status quo. It justifies the social system that was corrupt from the beginning. And when people resort to crime or different means of survival or expressing frustration or whatever it may be, the penal system puts itself like a solution for the status quo people to say, oh, we're safe, we can walk around safe, you know. But the misery and the subjugation of the brothers and sisters that's caught up within that system, and the families that lose family members, you know, that never, there's no rehabilitation, you know what I mean? It's just a waste of time, waste of money, and it's a hypocrisy, you know what I mean? People, the conditions can be resolved where you don't need prison, you don't need police departments, you know what I mean? Police and things like that come into existence when you got haves and you got have-nots, and you got unfair ways that happened. So you need an army or somebody in between.
You have the emergence in human society of this thing that's called the state. What is the state? The state is this organized bureaucracy. It is the police department. It is the army, the navy. It is the prison system, the courts, and what have you. This is the state. It is a repressive organization. But the state entry, well, you know, you've got to have the police, because if there were no police, look at what you'd be doing to yourselves. You'd be killing each other if there were no police. But the reality is, the police become necessary in human society. Only at that juncture in human society, where it is split between those who have and those who ain't got.
I throw a Molotov cocktail at the precinct. You know how we think. Organize the hood under our chain banners. Red, black, and green instead of gang bandanas. FBI spying on us through the radio antennas. And them hitting cameras in the street like watching society. With no respect for the people's right to privacy. I take a slug for the cause like Huey P. While all you fake niggas try to copy Master P. I wanna be free to live, able to have what I need to live. Bring the power back to the street where the people live. We sick of working for crumbs and filling up the prisons. Dying over money and relying on religion for help. We do for self like ants in a colony. Organize the wealth into a socialist economy. A way of life based off the common needs. And all my comrades is ready, we just spreading the seed.
To have a black male live a third of his life in a jail cell. Cause the world is controlled by the white male. And the people don't never get justice.
That's really the root and the origin of prison. And now it's been so complicated because people look to the police to protect them. You know, people look to the prisons to keep the streets safe. But, you know, it's hypocrisy because, you know, police is doing a lot of the killing. You know what I mean? And a lot of the people in jail are in jail for conditions, you know, that for their being in conditions that, you know, produce certain behavior. And make you make certain decisions, you know what I mean? So I think justice got to take that into context, you know what I mean? Not just throw you in a box to learn your lesson, you know what I mean? But, you know, and it's a lot of criminals out here, you know what I mean, that's in charge of these systems and these companies, and, you know, that's getting away with murder, literally, you know what I mean?
Yeah. In some of your lyrics, you discussed how drug use can be self-medication. Mm-hmm. And instead of being getting that cured, you get thrown in jail.
Yeah, well, what I meant by self-medication is that, you know, we out here suffering, man. We emotionally, you know, psychologically, you know, not to mention economically and all those other things, but just, and a lot of times we use these different substances to try to get some type of relax or escape or whatever, but then we get in prison in that. And I don't mean physically, I mean literally, you know, we get addicted, you know what I mean? And then that substance becomes our master, you know what I mean? So not to mention we get locked up for it, you know what I mean? So, you know, I'm celebrating sobriety, you know, as part of my revolutionary action.
If I get wasted and you get wasted, what we gonna do about the next generation? Rockstar lifestyle ain't gonna make it. Too many black men locked in cages. If I get wasted and you get wasted, what we gonna do about the next generation?
Capitalism was invented by the white boys. Even prison was invented by the white boys. So you better watch out, or they might force you. White boy, white girl, a white horse. Up north racist, down south racist. Same government, leaders just changed places. $7 trillion on Wall Street wasted. How much more they gon' spend on the spaceship? I gotta face it, you gotta face it. Soon everybody gon' be butt naked. How much longer do you think we gon' take it? Still not free and still no 40 acres.
Rockstar lifestyle ain't gon' make it. Too many black men locked in cages. If I get wasted and you get wasted, what we gon' do about the next generation? Rockstar lifestyle ain't gon' make it. Too many black men locked in cages. If I get wasted and you get wasted, what we gon' do about the next generation?
In the morning, first thing, gotta taste it. Drunk out my mind on an everyday basis. Stay throwing up, Andre by the cases. Smoking mad blunt, so much money that I wasted. Going through the stages, growing up a young black male trying to make it. But caught up in the matrix, was it lack of discipline or deep self-hatred? Suppose it could have been a form of self-medication.
patient. Stress on my mind, it was a way to escape it. Wash away the problems when I didn't want to face it. I told myself it was just recreation. I could stop anytime, G, it's not like I'm basing. But deep inside, I felt my health deteriorate. Gout in my leg, toothache so irritating. Wasting mad time, could have been paper chasing. Slipping on my pimp and catching all kind of cases. Learning the hard way, first-hand education. Had to give my body a break and make some changes. Had to get back on solid foundation. Tighten up my diet, workouts, and meditation. It don't happen in a day, it take patience. Still, every day it's a challenge, but I'ma make it. A soldier don't run from the struggle, we embrace it. Don't worry what another man think. That's liberation.
One of your songs on your new album discusses the importance of exercise and eating properly. You sang it here today.
Yeah, for sure. The workout at rbgfitclub.com. That's my new joint. We're going to do a lot more on the health side of things in 2012.
You've noticed that being a problem in the African-American community?
In general, mm-hmm. And in specific, for sure. The whole American culture is, you know, fast food nation, you know what I mean, as the book says. But just, I mean, the most obese, the biggest heart disease in the world, you know, people are just not taught the proper balance of what nutrition really means. And the FDA is lying for the dairy industry profits and the meat industry profits. And so we really don't know from school age, school lunch, those old outdated pyramids, you know what I mean? This is what our people have been taught. And then we get pump, 99-cent Whopper, $2.99 chicken box every day in the hood, you know, and it produces, you know, poor health, you know what I mean? So yeah, I recognize that. And I see it as something that we can do, that we can actually see results, you know, immediately. You know what I mean? Taking responsibility to live in a proactive, healthy manner is one way to be stronger for the other fights that's going on.
It's all love. It's all love. Sweets, only ripe vegetables, fresh fruit and whole wheat. I'm from the old school, my household smell like soul food, bruh. Curry falafel, barbecue tofu, no fish though, no candy bars, no cigarettes, only ganja, fresh squeezed juice from oranges. Exercising daily to stay healthy, and I rarely drink water out the tap cause it's filthy.
Lentil soup is mental fruit, and ginger root is good for the youth. Fresh vegetable with them Italian stew. Sweet yam fries with the green callaloo. Careful how you season and prepare your foods, cause you don't wanna lose vitamins and minerals, and that's the jewel. Life brings life, it's valuable, so I eat what comes from the ground, it's natural. Let your food be your medicine, uh-huh. No accelerant, uh-huh. Strictly herb generates from the sun, cause I got melanin and drink water. Water. 8 glasses a day, cause that's what they say.
They say you are what you eat, so I strive to eat healthy. My goal in life is not to be rich or wealthy, cause true wealth comes from good health and wise ways. We got to start taking better care of ourselves. They say you are what you eat, so I strive to eat healthy. My goal in life is not to be rich or wealthy, cause true wealth comes from good health and wise ways. We got to start taking better care of ourselves to be healthy.
One last question. So when folks get locked up, then there's the problem of once you have to check the box that you've committed a crime, the employment is all but cut off for a significant proportion of this country.
Yeah. I mean, I believe in entrepreneurship, you know what I mean? I'm going to just say it like that. I believe you got to own your own, you know what I mean? And that might, some people may say, well, that's not realistic, you know what I mean? And they say, you know, but I don't agree. I think, you know, we can all be our own tradesmen, craftsmen, technology, you name it. You know what I mean? I think so we don't have to be looking for a job as give me a job. I'm out here protesting for a job. You know what I mean? Like I'm going to get my own things in development from organic gardening, everything under the sun. See a need, fill a need. You know what I mean? And but that's a whole nother question of economic development, you know, that has to be addressed. So
your music is an example of that, I guess.
It's one way.
Thanks so much for your time.
Salute. All right. Appreciate it.
That was Stickman, who along with M1 makes up the hip-hop group Dead Prez. I spoke with him after they performed at Occupy DC at McPherson Square in December. This is The Fight Back, thefightback.org, broadcasting here on WEACT Radio, 1480 AM WPWC. We now turn to Pat Humphries and Sandy O of Emma's Revolution. I sat down with the award-winning duo on the second day of the occupation at Freedom Plaza, and they discussed the origins of their newest song, Occupy the USA. Your names?
I'm Pat Humphries.
I'm Sandy O.
Together you make up Emma's Revolution, and you have a song, Occupy the USA. So explain the origins of it.
Well, we got an email post from a friend of ours who's a labor organizer in New York City, and he said, I know what we need. We need the U.S. to invade the U.S. and win the hearts and minds of the people. And we thought, oh, well, if it's an invasion, that makes it a war. And if it's a war, then it'll be funded. Wouldn't that be a great idea? That's what inspired this song. Welcome to the U.S. occupation, to win the hearts and minds, to defend all humankind. Tell the banks and the corporations, we're here to occupy the USA. The Congress and the hedge funds stole our houses and our pensions, conspired to steal our health care at conservative conventions. We're here to stand our ground. We demand our jobs with justice. We're 99% in charge. Now you'll just have to trust us. Welcome to the U.S. occupation, to win the hearts and minds, defend all humankind. Tell the banks and the corporations, we're here to occupy the USA. Stop the XL pipeline in its tracks across the heartland. Reject the filthy energy extracted from the tar sands. Clinton and TransCanada exposed before the nation. Corruption forces us to organize a new invasion. Welcome to the U.S. occupation, to win the hearts and minds, defend all humankind. Tell the banks and the corporations, we're here to occupy the USA. This occupation won't be won with guns or ammunition. We're armed with our integrity and righteous indignation. We do all the work, so we have the power to stop it. No workers, no work, not until we share the profits. Welcome to the U.S. occupation, to win the hearts and minds, defend all humankind. Tell the banks and the corporations, we're here to occupy the USA. We support the unions and our right to organize. Students, homeless, immigrants are strengthening their ties. We have struggled far too long, now let this be a sign. 1% in power, meet the other 99. Welcome to the U.S. occupation, to win the hearts and minds, defend all humankind. Tell the banks and the corporations, we're here to occupy the USA. Welcome to the U.S. occupation, to win the hearts and minds, defend all humankind. Tell the banks and the corporations, we're here to occupy the USA. Democratize the USA. We're here to occupy the USA.
Sandy and Pat, you're performing here at Freedom Plaza in Occupy DC. Any thoughts you want to share about this occupation?
We also stopped at Occupy Boston on our way down from Massachusetts, and I think the greatest thing about this is that people are starting it everywhere they are. You don't have to come to D.C., you don't have to go to San Francisco. There's occupations happening everywhere, all the way across the country, and people are here. We've been hearing stories about why people came. This is a woman we just met. It's her first demonstration ever, her first time coming to Washington, D.C., and she's just thrilled to be here to learn what she can do to stand up and speak out and push back. We really need to tell the truth about the issues that we know about and get people moving and change this power structure, because we know how this can be done better without destroying the planet, without destroying each other, and that's really the way we need to move.
It's been so inspiring to meet all the people. There's a lot of folks that, because we play at demonstrations all around the country, you know, sometimes it's the same group of people. It's the usual suspects, but more and more and more, there are all kinds of folks who have never been out before, all kinds of young people, older people, everything in between, you know, all races, ages, sexes. You know, there are people who are just feeling for the first time the power of their own voice, and feeling the power of their collective voice. And, you know, to see that emerge in a crowd and to see the crowd grow with that sort of inspiration and that kind of spirit is fantastic. And we've been doing these things for a long time around a lot of different issues, but this is very different. So many different people that come from so many different sectors coming together with this common goal of making sure that the environment is addressed, that the banks are not the ones that, and the richest people in the country, the richest 1% are not the people that have all the money. We're tired of being robbed over and over and over again, and being told that somehow it's patriotic. I can't even say the word. And good for the country for us to give all of our money over to the billionaires. We've had enough now. And, you know, somebody asked, you know, how does this differ from the Tea Party? This is a real grassroots movement. This isn't a movement. This is a movement catered by food, not bombs, not by some fancy, you know, caterer down here. This is a movement that is born of the blood and sweat and contributions of individuals that want to be part of something larger than themselves. They haven't been paid by the Koch brothers or by the RNC or by, you know, any other right-wing media outlet that wants to make sure that the corporate interests get recognized, and so we're delighted to be part of this. It's really where the songs come from for us to be in the company of these amazing people.
Well, we're here at Freedom Plaza, half a block away. You just performed in front of hundreds of people outside of the last hearing for the Keystone XL pipeline. This is the pipeline that goes from Alberta, Canada, down to the proposed pipeline down to the Gulf of Mexico. So that must have been, what was that like?
I think it's really important that people are putting all these issues together. So the XL pipeline is dangerous environmentally, obviously. It's going to go across a very large aquifer that provides the water for people in the Midwest and West there. And it's important because it's about the environment, but it's really about our own lives. If we don't have water to drink, we can't survive. And there are other ways to create jobs. We can create jobs in sustainable energy. We can create jobs fixing the roads and the bridges that we've seen are deteriorating. We don't need oil money and oil jobs to create jobs. And it was a very moving rally. There was a woman who spoke from North Dakota who's from the indigenous population there, and she said she went and spoke to some, there were some union members on the other side, because supporting the XL pipeline, because they think, okay, we need those jobs. And she went and actually sat with them and talked with them, and one of those union workers said to her, you know, these jobs don't kill anyone. That idea that these oil jobs are killing people, that's just not true. And she said, you are talking to someone who knows a family who was just killed. An oil tanker hit a car with a young family and their two kids, and she started crying as she was speaking to all of us at the demonstration. And it's just important to connect all of these dots. We do need jobs, but we need clean jobs, clean energy jobs, and we do need to protect the environment because it's the only environment we have to live in. It's not going to help if we have jobs that make us money if there's nothing to breathe and there's nothing to drink.
Lastly, you guys, as you said, travel the country for some years now performing, and you have a good feel for activism, and you feel that this is something different here, a movement of sorts.
It's really, you know, it seems to be bubbling up from every stream and every small town and every big city, that people are tired of being abused. People are tired of being told one thing and then finding out that the truth is really something else. I think people have a really deep desire to believe in their institutions and to believe in their leaders, and they keep coming up disappointed. You know, they hear all the campaign rhetoric and all that stuff, but you know, when it's not borne out in their own lives, when they're still losing their houses, when they're still losing their pensions, their health care, their jobs, they feel like no one's listening. And you know, I was even feeling it last night talking to some of the local media here. I felt like he kept asking the same question over and over again. What do people want? And I think that people are tired of having people talk at them and not listen. So this is an opportunity for people to raise their voice all around the country, and we're seeing it happen wherever we go.
Thank you guys for your time. If you ever want to do one more song, or if time doesn't allow, thank you for your time.
We just have to think of the right one.
One of the places that we've been in this last year was Madison, Wisconsin. We went up for the demonstrations there. Because as I said, this is really where the songs come from for us. We love this community, and this community is, you know, just a vast spectrum of the community, and we're always inspired by these gatherings. So
when all the demonstrations were happening in Madison last spring, we made sure to get there and sing at one of those noontime rallies where all the workers who were standing out and had been standing out for by then probably 3 or so weeks. So yeah, this is a song we could have sung to those union brothers and sisters down at the Keystone XL demonstration too. This is for all the workers. You teach your children, you plow your roads, you clean your office, you haul the heavy loads. We're the workers who make this country run. We tend the gardens and the patients. We are families, friends, and students. And we'll stay here until more. It's time for them to learn. This state house is our line in the sand.
When the people stand together, ain't no power ever stronger. When the people stand together now. When the people stand together, ain't no power ever stronger. Stand.
Michigan to New Jersey shore. United, we will gather for our families and our future. It's our unions, it's our lives we're fighting for. When the people stand together, ain't no power ever stronger. When the people stand together now. When the people stand together, ain't no power ever stronger. People stand.
That was Pat Humphreys and Sandy O of Emma's Revolution. I spoke with them at Occupy DC at Freedom Plaza in October. This is The Fight Back, thefightback.org. We now turn to David Rovix. In December, the activist and artist came to the DC area to support Private Bradley Manning, who was on trial at Fort Meade in Maryland, not far from DC. The alleged WikiLeaks whistleblower was held for more than a year without trial and was subjected to solitary confinement and forced nudity, leading to an international outcry. I sat down for an extended conversation with David Rovix on a cold December night at Freedom Plaza. I began by asking him what brought him to the D.C. area.
I'm here to mainly attend the vigil and sing at the rally and stuff around Bradley Manning's pretrial hearing at Fort Meade in Maryland. And then I added on to the plan two gigs in D.C. at the two different Occupies. To sing at them.
Tonight you performed here at Freedom Plaza?
Yeah, and tomorrow I'll be playing at McPherson Square.
Tomorrow Bradley Manning turns 24 years old. Talk about his situation.
Oh, he's one of the most heroic figures of our times, I think. What he did was, with taking those hundreds of thousands of files that thoroughly document the terrible things that our government and many other governments have done and continue to do to subvert democracy and freedom of expression and freedom of assembly and all sorts of other things around the world. Getting these documents out into the public was an absolutely heroic thing to do, and he's paying the price for it by the government trying to put him away for life or maybe even worse. And he needs to be defended and supported and seen as the hero that he is. I mean, he is the Daniel Ellsberg of our time, and as Daniel Ellsberg himself says. And he needs and deserves all the support that Daniel Ellsberg had, which is why Daniel Ellsberg is not in prison and never went to prison, because he had support.
You've written a song about Bradley Manning. Did you perform that today outside Fort Meade?
Today it was just a vigil, so I wasn't singing. I'll be singing tomorrow at the rally. We're going to have a sound system, and I'll be performing tomorrow at that. And I will certainly sing the song for Bradley Manning.
Private Manning was an analyst. If what they say is true, he was paid to read reports, find the patterns sifting through. As he read the data, the patterns did emerge, patterns that were clear both before and since the surge. Patterns of abuse of the most horrific kind, gunning down civilians out of view and out of mind. Gunning down the opposition in the middle of the night, sending off the scholars to be tortured out of sight. Sometimes you need desperate measures when you live in desperate times. Private Manning's all he was, looking at war crimes. He wondered what to do to allow the dead to speak. He finally decided to contact WikiLeaks. Now it's all out on the table and everybody knows. The emperor is naked, he's not wearing any clothes. Now Adrian Lamo has to live within his skin. He stabbed Bradley in the back, called the cops and turned him in. But not before the soldier took half a million files. If you printed all the pages, they'd stretch on for miles. Evidence against the state, right from the horse's mouth. Machinations in the west, bombings in the south. A treasure trove of details for all the globe to see. How much they need to lie and kill for democracy. How many drone strikes have in villages, leaving everyone to die. They blamed on someone else, the official line, not I. How many coups have been plotted by ambassadors who say that free and fair elections be the order of the day? Now it's all out on the table and everybody knows. The emperor is naked, he's not wearing any clothes. Stuff it back and stop it from illuminating everything we lack, such as the rule of law or playing by the book. Look, you can read it, it's right here. The ship of state is run by crooks, and they vilify the messengers, call them every name for daring to blow the whistle on the nature of their game. The game of taking lives and endangering the rest in order for the wealthy few to do what they do best. For the corporate elite, but now their cover's blown from their head down to their feet. And now the stars and stripes is looking much more like a rag. The lid is off the box, the cat's out of the bag. Now it's all out on the table and everybody knows. The emperor is naked, he's not wearing any clothes. It's all out on the table and everybody knows. The emperor is naked, he's not wearing any clothes.
Talk about his detainment. He's now being tried, but he's been held in solitary confinement. It seems a backwards process, the punishment before even so much as a trial.
Yeah, 18 months of detention with no charges, nothing. It's I wish I could say it's unprecedented, but it's not unprecedented. It's just part of the operations of this government, which doesn't actually abide by the Bill of Rights. I mean, the Bill of Rights was a very important document, and still is great on paper. But the fact is, it's never really been enforced. It's always been selectively enforced. And, here our right, which is enshrined in those, first 10 amendments to our Constitution, the right to a speedy trial is and the right to freedom of expression. I mean, but in this case, and particularly the right to a speedy trial is certainly not being heeded. And also the right to a fair trial. Well, it's impossible for him to get a fair trial. He's already been found guilty by nobody less prominent than the President of the United States. He's been already referred to as a criminal by Barack Obama, and of course by most other prominent politicians of both parties.
You're performing tonight. You perform the Occupy DC at Freedom Plaza, tomorrow night at McPherson Square, You've written a song about the Occupy movement. Have you been performing at them throughout the country as you travel it?
Yeah, throughout the U.S. and Canada, I've visited more than 24 Occupies and sung at most of them, and I've been singing that song at all of them since I wrote it, which was around October 8th, and of course it's gone over really well, and I mean, you know, it does what a song is. Hopefully, supposed to do, which, when you're writing a topical song, which is to express what everybody is thinking, in a succinct musical format, And when you do that, you can see the looks on the faces of the people who are listening. They're like, ah, yeah, you nailed it, and that's, I'm tooting my own horn here, but that is definitely what you're trying to do when you write a song like that, and I think I've more or less succeeded in that song.
Because this is where they buy the politicians. Because this is where power has its seat. Because 99% of us are suffering at the mercy of the madmen on this street. Because all of us are victims of class warfare being waged on us by the 1%. Because these greedy banksters rob the country, leaving us without the means to pay the rent. Because the last time that we had a decent government was about 1932. Because we the people are supposed to run this country, but instead it's all run by and for the few. Because now we know the rich do not pay taxes, but when they need a hand, it's us who bail them out. Because we suspected we lived in a plutocracy, but suddenly of late there is no doubt. So we're gonna stay right here. We're gonna stay right here. Because both my parents lost their savings. Because I have never opened an account. Because the interest on my credit card just doubled. And now I can't pay the minimum amount. Because these budget cuts are just immoral. But our schools as overcrowded as they are. Because there are no buses where I live. But I can't afford to drive a car. Because so many of us don't have health insurance. The rest of us have it, but it sucks. Because the rich are flying in their private jets. While the rest of us are slogging through the muck. Because capitalism isn't working. This system has just failed to produce. Because the 1% are prospering, while the rest of us just suffer their abuse. So we're gonna stay right here. We're gonna stay right here. Because it has been demonstrated amply that the winners are the ones who stick around. Because this world should belong to everyone, not just the banksters who had smashed it to the ground. Because we've noticed voting doesn't change things when the politicians are mostly millionaires. Because we're learning how to stand up like Tunisians, like they did in Tahrir Square. Very young men, Mohammed, who was easy, struck a match that lit up all the earth. And all around the world the spell was broken, and a movement for the future was in birth. Because there's only so much the rich can feed us before we figure out which side we're on. Because we've learned if we want our liberation, it will only come if we stay here till the rising of the dawn. So we're gonna stay right here. We're gonna stay right here. Mm-hmm. because corporations are not people, and we can't just let them choose. Because if we leave our fate to them, then all of us will surely lose. Because the climate clock is ticking, and we can't just leave our world behind. Because corporate rule isn't working, and it's time for humans' hearts and minds. Because you can't take it with you, because the rich just do not care. Because it doesn't matter how much you make, but how much you can share. Because these moments don't come often, because we want truly to be free. Because we know what really matters, something called society. So we're gonna stay right here. We're gonna stay right here. We're gonna stay.
What are your thoughts on the Occupy movement?
Well, I think it's the most important thing to happen here in this country in a long time, and it's you know, very much has its roots in Tunisia and the rebellions throughout the Arab world. Strategically, I mean, the goals you know, may be different, but the basic strategy of taking and holding space until you get your demands met is a great strategy, and it's not a new strategy, but it's been demonstrated very eloquently throughout the Arab world to be a very effective strategy. And it's just great that there's something happening throughout the country, and it's really the first time in at least 11 years where there's been a sense of a some kind of a growing national movement. You know, maybe it took 9/11 and the financial collapse and, a lot of other things. It took a while for that kind of anti-capitalist movement that was starting to form around 10, 11 years ago to sort of come back in a different form. But I think that's kind of more or less what we're witnessing. And it's come back in a form that seems to have somehow learned from the mistakes of the movement from 10 or 11 years ago, even without necessarily so many of the people consciously having learned from it. And, you know, part of it is the mass character of the movement. It's not a little insular movement of people who have all read Noam Chomsky and listened to the Dead Kennedys. It's a much more broad-based movement than that was. And it seems to, you know, the vast majority of the participants seem to really viscerally, or maybe, you know, intellectually as well, understand that the tactic of taking and holding space and doing it all nonviolently, you know, nonviolent direct action is the tactic that they've embraced, and they have been pretty consistently rejecting other tactics, which I think is a brilliant move. Not only rejecting tactics like trashing and rioting, but rejecting tactics like voting. Not necessarily, you know, saying nobody should vote, but, you know, rejecting being the sort of, you know, direct action arm of the Democratic Party. I mean, I think there have been some people in the Democratic Party who have been hoping to woo the movement in their direction, and they failed, and that's great. And also people advocating violence have also failed in pulling the movement in that direction. Not that they've tried very hard, but which is good. But you know, I think the character of the movement is really spot on, and I don't know where it's going. I don't think anybody knows where it's going because it's the nature of mass movements are, you know, fairly unpredictable. But it seems to be moving in positive directions with the Occupy foreclosure thing happening. And I think whatever happens, I think people should not be too put off by the possibility that numbers on the streets decrease during the coldest months of the year. There's precedent for that. I mean, that actually has a lot of precedent throughout the history of civilization, in terms of social movements, as well as military campaigns connected to guerrilla movements, which is also another kind of social movement. Obviously, you know, there is a lot of precedent for taking off the most inclement months, because it's just either impossible. Yeah, it's just, you can't, I mean, you can camp in the winter and you can advance in a battle while slogging through mud. I mean, these things can be done, but if you have the opportunity to call it off and say, okay, we'll wait when the ground is no longer made of mud, or we'll, you know, come back when it's no longer below freezing. You know, there's a lot of precedent for that. And you know, while it's very important for movements to have momentum, you know, and it's right for people to be concerned and to be concerned about maintaining momentum, that's very important. You can maintain a sort of ebbing and flowing momentum. It doesn't necessarily need to be this constant buildup, you know.
I was listening to Democracy Now! This morning, and Daniel Ellsberg was on, and I think he mentioned that this is, maybe tomorrow is the one-year anniversary of, and I'm going to mess up his name if I tried, the individual who, you mentioned the roots of this Occupy movement being in Egypt and Tunisia, burning himself alive, the fruit vendor.
Yeah, Mohamed Bouazizi. Mm. Oh, yeah, and I mean, what he did and what, clearly, it was the right time and place, and it inspired, Tunisia was, clearly a powder keg in terms of, like, you know, people living in pretty desperate economic conditions and under a corrupt dictatorship, which, thanks in part to WikiLeaks and Bradley Manning, people discovered that the dictatorship that they suspected was really corrupt was in fact really corrupt. And you know, people belittle that aspect of the thing to some extent, and I understand why, because of course, it's not about denying agency to the people of Tunisia. It's just about saying that, you know, there are outside influences outside Tunisia that had an impact, and WikiLeaks is one of them, I think, very clearly. But in any case, Mohamed Bouazizi, the way he did what he did, and the situation that he was in, and the conditions that the country was in, was clearly the move that was the move to make in terms of, you know, gathering together this movement. And it's very symbolic that he immolated himself in the small city that he did, which was not the capital of Tunisia, and it's been the hallmark of the entire rebellion throughout the Arab world, that they have all the movements in throughout the Arab world have pretty much, I think, in all cases, started in the sort of secondary cities of those countries, and because they were happening in these cities that the outside world has often never heard of, that never gets international media, that backwater kind of places like Sidi Bouzid and Alexandria, because they started in these kinds of places, that inspired the movements in the capital cities. Because you know, it's the same in the U.S. in capital cities like New York and San Francisco and D.C. People are aware that they live in some kind of a bubble. That, like, you know, you're not going to have a revolution if it's only happening in New York and San Francisco. It's got to happen. You know, it's got to be just as much part of the fabric of society in places like, you know, Cleveland and St. Louis and you know, Houston. You know, and you know, that's what's been happening both with the Arab rebellions as well as with the Occupy movement here.
That was David Rovick speaking at the Occupation at Freedom Plaza. You can listen to the full interview at thefightback.org. Tonight's show was engineered by Mark Taylor. I'm Pete Tucker. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Fight Back.